episode 2 of 13 Apart. I'm here with my co-host, Monica. It's been a while since we recorded. We had to do some catch-up before we got started to see how everything's going. But here we are. We're recording this. It's December 30th, my time. 31st, your time.
Yeah, last day of December, last day of 2021.
I know, it's so crazy. So, for today's episode, since it is the end of the year, we decided we would go over some of our favorite things from 2021. Before we say goodbye to 2021, go into 2022, hoping it goes a little more smoothly than 2021 did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it's interesting because I have this card and I'll pull it up here so that everybody can see it. So I'm a crafter, so I've got all my crafty stuff. And it was this card. It says, "This year in review. It was pretty good, better than I imagined. So many changes, not the best, and so glad it's over." And I was like, do I only have to pick one? Because I feel like all of them. It's like all of the above. All of the above. How do you feel like yours was kind of on that scale?
it's very interesting because I don't know, like with the way my memory works, I feel like I only remember what's like close to present.
Mm-hmm.
Not yeah. like it's like very strange. It's very selective and
100%.
Every year I make a calendar for my in-laws, my mom, and I put a lot of pictures, you know, like for my kids. And it's one time, you know, in December where I go through all the pictures we've taken. Yeah. And because, you know, everything is like, it has a date.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like one, my chance to like really, like play back my past year.
Right.
And it's crazy how like all the things that I've done.
Yeah.
But it's always strange to feel like, oh, you know, like this year, like, oh, I don't know if I did like, I don't feel as accomplished, and you know, I just have like a lot of the regrets. Oh, I should have, like, mm-hmm. what ifs.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think this year, objectively speaking, I've overcommitted. I wanted to do a lot more than like what I did, which is, you know, quite a lot. So going back to the question, how was my year? I think my year was very like eclectic. Just a lot of different things that happened. Some by choice, of course, some like, you know, I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. But I end the year at a much more robust place. Like, I think I know like my direction. My first year. my year started with, okay, I lost my train of thought, but. How was my year? My year was very eclectic. Like, mm-hmm. I dabbled on a lot of things, very on the surface level. I've taken like some amazing courses. I've met some amazing people. And I think I'm ending the year with more like clarity mm-hmm. towards like, okay, I want to focus on this community.
Yeah.
I want to focus on these skills next year.
Right.
So I have a better idea of what to focus on. I started with like, oh, wow, this world is amazing. I'm going to try everything. And I think I tried a lot of things and I'm ending with, okay, I'm going to keep these things.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's one of the great things that kind of like one of the superpowers / curses of ADHD is it's like, okay, you've got all these ideas that you want to try and you can kind of like dip your toe into it. I feel like if you learn really quickly or just like, it's almost like you just jump in, see how it feels. And then if you're not feeling it, you can jump back out or you can just like, okay, I like this, but I'm going to put it on the back burner for now. And I'll come back to it at a later date. I feel like that's one of our things, but it also means you're kind of like looking everywhere all the time for something. You're like, that could be interesting. What's that over there? Like shiny objects. You're like,
ooh. Yeah, lots of shiny objects and like lots of shiny objects. And
absolutely.
Yeah. We'll have fewer next year. I don't know.
I don't know if we will. Hopefully we'll just learn faster. That's the thing I'm trying to say. And I'm like, I feel like no matter what, especially being online and being in that like entrepreneurial space, there's always going to be some new thing. There's always going to be some new app, some new service, some new book, some new idea. And I think a lot of it for us, you know, being people with ADHD, kind of just being like, okay, let me pick it up and sort of like check it for a second and see how it kind of goes for me. And if it goes well, you know, again, it's like bring it in, let it go kind of a thing. I think it's just being as aware as we are online and being around like a lot of really smart people, like a lot of really great ideas and who are really reading fantastic books and all of these things. We just have that kind of input all around us at all times. And I don't know, for me, I know well enough. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to fall into some sort of crazy hole, come out a bit later.
I know. I do too. I think I'm a little more selective. I think I definitely wanted to do everything and I thought I could do everything.
Yeah.
And I thought I had like a lot of time, which of course I didn't. But yeah, there are definitely things that I really wanted to get deeper into, but I didn't get to. Like, yeah. I really wanted to learn and read more about like Web3 and, you know, like the whole like NFTs, crypto, blockchain. Like, I wanted to go through that rabbit hole, but I just did not get around to that. So
it's hopefully next year. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, like that was one of the things that I was thinking of that I had kind of picked up and then put back down was that kind of like crypto and things like that. Because for me, when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, this seems like a cool new tech that I can get into and all these types of things. And then I was like, oh, it's secretly finance and I'm just not good with that kind of stuff. So I was like,
yeah, okay.
You know, once it got into like, you know, like, oh, this type of wallet and then move this thing here and then this thing does this. And it's just like, my bigger concern was like, I'll know just enough about it to lose everything and then figure out how I did. Like, oh, I shouldn't have used that. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, definitely.
But I get like,
I did get on the Constitution, like, you know, DAO, like it was very interesting because like I learned first about like, you know, gas prices and how like the fees to transfer and then, like I ran into all these issues because like, you know, like my citizenship and like my residency, everything got like mixed in and like I was like, borrowing, like I had like my husband sent me some like crypto and it was just like a mess. But I think because it's a mess, like I really do want to learn it eventually, hopefully next year. But one great thing that happened to me was I started working for the startup and I just loved their work, like how they work, the team, and like, it's like fully remote. And I think up until this year, I was like, you know, like, how is it different working remote? Like I was really trying to do the same things just remotely. And the whole thing is just, it's just like a very different game. So like, that was, I think, it definitely highlighted meeting this, you know, like this startup company, and I'll be doing more work with them next year.
Yeah.
So lots of things to learn in that space, but working remotely, like being productive, being like communicating remotely, that's probably going to be at the center for next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I know, like I've taken a lot of courses. I think like looking at my expenses, I haven't saved much at all this year.
Got into your mind.
I've invested a lot on courses and I just wanted to, I love talking. I could talk about courses all day.
It's almost like one of your projects is going to be all about courses.
I know. And I have people ask me like, oh, you know, like, what, like in what order should I take these courses? Like, you know, can you recommend next courses? I really hope that I can be a better resource for people interested in courses. But what have been like your favorite courses this year, Carolee?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a hard question for me.
It is a hard question for me too, because like I feel like each one of them kind of contributed their own thing. And I feel like I haven't really squeezed all the juice out of a couple, but I think that we'll be good.
Same.
I think for like overall best course was probably Supercharge of Productivity. I think just the folks that I've met through the course and kind of like the philosophy behind it, I feel like Kay did an amazing job with that course. And I think it just keeps getting better and he keeps iterating on it, especially because he kind of does it live. Each new cohort, it's not necessarily like he teaches the same information, but each time he teaches it, it's going to be a little different. So I really like that. And I know I signed up for his like year long kind of mastermindy type thing. And so I'm excited for that. And then I'm trying to think what else. The design course that we took. My brain is like, they stole my blood today, guys. So my brain's not 100. Visual design. Yes. Thank you.
I love that course.
That was so much fun. It was a wild ride, but it was so much fun to see everybody's creativity. And because basically,
Carol, do you want to the very, very short description of that course?
Yeah. So basically,
people
you
probably
just
don't know.
Sit down with some folks and create your like personal design language, almost, I would say. Right. And it's very like he teaches it basically like in two big blocks, like it's just a weekend long set. And by the end of it, you have like this whole design thing, like in Figma and all of these other things. Like, it was just kind of a way I had never approached design before. And as a person who usually hires designers, it was really empowering to kind of do that for myself and see what that process was like. And then the cool thing was, is you got to see everybody else's design and all of these other people's kind of like, whatever kind of came out of them. And that was what I thought was pretty cool. What did you think about that one?
I know. I love that course. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of different things. I don't know. Like one thing about like about my way of like observing or like mm-hmm. engaging with things is that, yeah, it's a course about design, but I will see like a lot of other things too. So for mm-hmm. example, it was the first weekend course. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, like all courses were like month long. Okay. Yeah. There were like two options. Okay. Like 4 week course or like a 2 week course. I don't know, like mm-hmm. an 8 week course.
Yeah.
But this was just a weekend. Mm-hmm. So it almost felt like a retreat.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of like cut down your ties to the world and like, mm-hmm. let's just get together mm-hmm. around this campfire. And the group was very, very small. Nate Cadillac leading that yeah. course has put together a great team. Guri, like, you know, Heather, like there's so many. It's a very small group, but like each facilitator was like so good, like leading the breakout rooms. And, you know, when you do like the pair activities to do like more exploration, discovery of your,
yeah, absolutely.
Of your like taste and colors mm-hmm. and like kind of like pulling that out of you. Mm-hmm. So like yeah, that was really cool. And I agree with you, like seeing other people's work, like I was really, really engrossed in mine. But then like mm-hmm. at the end, yeah. you see everybody else's. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, we are like all different.
Yeah.
And it's all us. Like,
yeah,
it's like,
absolutely.
You know, it's like me mm-hmm. and you create like your palette of colors yep. and indirectly you learn how to use this really powerful tool mm-hmm. like Figma. Like mm-hmm. he was not teaching Figma, but we were doing it on
yeah.
Figma.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the little tips that we learned from that course, I'm using it like for so many things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So many things. So I've learned about like a tool, about design, like, you know, learning how to create a design board, like design mm-hmm. taste board, design language, like you said, it made me really, it opened options. Like, you know, you can do a workshop mm-hmm. and, you know, you can help just as much in mm-hmm. like just 2 days or like in 1 day. And yeah, that was like, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I love Nate's newsletter. Like, you know, I bought his like Figma course too that
oh, you did?
He's building. And yeah, I'm just really excited. And I was just like nudging him, okay, can you create a Procreate course? Because I think it's going to be just as awesome. And I really, that's yeah. one thing that I want to do next year. Like, I want to sketch more and like,
oh yeah,
download Procreate, but like, I don't use it as much, like creative expression and like using my hands more. That's going to be like
yeah.
one of the things that I want to do more next year.
Absolutely.
But yeah, approachable design, that's like up there for me.
Yeah, approachable design was really, really good. What's kind of like, what would you say your number one was for the year, course-wise?
So it's like so hard.
I know. Like it's, you like said, it's like choosing a baby. Like which of my
like
children
you
do
said, it? Like you said, every course, mm-hmm. like, and I think the order also like, you know, matters.
Yeah, yeah.
Like for me, my very first core, like cohort-based course was, you know, Ali Abdal's PTYA, mm-hmm. Part-Time YouTuber Academy. And it was like, wow, you know, like all these people all over the world. And I was so used to just like you know, classroom style mm-hmm. courses. So it was like, it's a very different, like, oh, wow, what is this? And like, ah, oh, this is Alvin Abdaal. Mm-hmm. Like, so I had this, yeah. I think like if I were to take the course now, it would feel very different.
Yeah.
But everything was cool about the course. This yeah. the first time, and I'm still involved in the community of the first mm-hmm. cohort. And because it was the first cohort, that also meant a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I think courses, when it's like the first cohort, like the first, I don't know, four cohorts.
Yeah. They're just
different. They feel very special.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you're kind of like, everything's still getting figured out. You know, I guess, I think for some people, they won't appreciate that it's still like the wheel's not 100% grease. They haven't quite figured out all of the tech necessarily or something like that. But I think if you do, if that is your thing and you like to see how something evolves, especially if it's just like a casual interest where you're like, oh yeah, someday I'd like to teach a course. I think watching another person run a course maybe for the first time or the second time, just like in those early stages of running a course, is really enlightening. Even if it's like, oh, yeah, they did a really fantastic job here, or in my course, I see how they did this, but I'd want to do this instead, just for my own like flexibility or what I intend to teach or whatever. I think there is that kind of rawness to like the whole package that feels really different. So yeah, that is definitely a part of that. I feel like there were a couple courses, like I took PTYA, I think that's part of the third cohort. And yeah, just seeing that kind of evolve. And even now, it's going to evolve now that Ollie's doing different things entirely.
Are you are you in the executive program? Like you can take it multiple times?
So I think so. I know it was in cohort four.
Okay, then probably you are.
Then yeah. And so it was pretty bad because like I did not have the time to take it this last quarter. And I think this is going to be probably one of my regrets of the year was not just specifically that, but, and I know that you'll identify with this really strongly because you were doing it alongside me for several situations where we were taking like three or four courses at a time. And I felt like I couldn't
make the most of them.
Exactly. I didn't have the like just clearance in my brain to make the most of them. So I feel like going back to it this next year, because, you know, we have access to them, thankfully, beyond the cohort, will be really beneficial. Just going back and
retaking them.
Let me go through this and actually take the time to do all of this, because I
love to do that with you.
Yeah, absolutely. If we should definitely talk about doing that together, because I know it's been on your list of things to do as well. But yeah, just going back and being like, okay, now that I have all of this time, I'm not taking, because I believe at one point I was taking like Supercharged Productivity, Tiago Forte's Building a Second Brain, and also like Part-Time YouTuber Academy all at the same time.
They are at around the same time.
Yeah, exactly. They had kind of flipped their cadence. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, I feel like I was able to give a lot to SYP, a little bit to Building a Second Brain, and then very little to Part-Time YouTuber Academy.
I see. And I do believe in like retaking the courses. Mm-hmm. Like one regret I have is that PTYA was my very first core base course. I'm like, mm-hmm. the price tag, that's like too high. And like, I was not working and I didn't buy the executive, like the executive level, but that's like one regret. I wish I did. And like, I could be part of like the other, mm-hmm. you know, cohorts, but oh, well, I would love to retake some of the material. YouTube is definitely one area that I want to be more consistent and better habits on, you know, next year.
Yeah.
But Building a Second Brain, that has been for me an amazing course. And like the first time I didn't feel, you know, it was like, okay, you know, like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I had already seen a lot of content, you know, from YouTube and maybe it was because I was also part of the, you know, Supercharger Productivity. But second time around, I think it's maybe cohort 13, the one that just ended, I was a moderator and maybe because of that, but I was just intentionally more involved. Then the course, in my opinion, took a big, you know, like had a big upgrade, like, you know, production-wise, material-wise, like the mentors, and to me was a lot better. And just like learning like little things. You Tiago said something like, you know, like some of the important lessons you have to learn them over and over again.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's how it felt with, you know, building a second brain, Cohen 13, where I learned a lot of like very small things, like very small tweaks, you know, like of how to approach the second brain and almost like how not to try so hard, like very, very interesting, like frameworks.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't think would have come the first time around.
Oh, for sure.
So a lot of these courses, I think you have to retake, but definitely like highlights. Like I cannot choose one course, but definitely high up there is like rite of passage.
Yeah.
Rite of passage is, have you taken that? No, mm-hmm. not yet. Okay. Mm-hmm. It really is. I think like the gold standard for like the cohort based, like the, what we know of cohort based courses,
right?
Like how you have the live sessions, you have great content, live session, very, very, very well run, you know, like live sessions.
Right.
And then you have a very, very active community. It's a very, you know, like very high price tag. So like people who invest in it are like really invested.
I think.
So that's like the community and like the energy during the live sessions. This time I had, like, I was a mentor, but like I was on a project and I was in Australia and it got like messy. So
I remember that.
I remember that, right? So with that, I feel that I wasn't able to give my all and make the most, but definitely I'm going to retake the course and like just go through it again. And it'd be great, you know, maybe if you became part of it one day. But
that's been one that I haven't been able to like rationalize the price tag for, because it is
kind
of a high price tag, even compared to some of these other ones. And so I'm just like, so my secret is that I also have a copywriter who helps me. And so I'm kind of like I have my copywriter. So I don't write as much. That's why I'm kind of like, I'm like, you can either do rite of passage or you can have your copywriter. And I'm like, kind of like having that crutch of the copywriter.
I know. I need to find one too. That's like my next find, looking for, you know,
yeah,
a copywriter.
Mm-hmm.
And then a very, very special course to me was Ultra Speaking. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very like difficult course to explain because, it's a course about like, you know, presentation and, you know, like we just play games.
Right.
And then we learn through games and we learn how to not try, you know. So it's like, if you just like, if you hear this or like, what? Like, it's not very convincing at all. For me, it was very funny because I was trying to put together a presentation course for like Korean people
who
have a hard time, you know, getting on stage, just talking to people, presenting and getting the timing right and like thinking about the audience. And so I was like, you know, what presentation courses are out there, right? Mm-hmm. And any ADHD, okay, I'm going to like, or any second brainer, okay,
absolutely.
I'm going to see what's around. I'm going to take pieces from here and there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to make the ultimate course, right? So somebody had recommended Ultra Speaking and I was like, and reaching that person. Oh, how was it? Can you tell me how it was? And like, he's just telling me, I'm like, you know, that like seemed like right up my alley. Like, I would love to take that course. And it's like totally life changing. I've seen people go through the course and you can see like it's not a huge cohort. So you can see people like if you have your gallery view on Zoom, you can see most of them.
Yeah.
Seeing everybody change.
For sure.
Like through every session, it's like pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And then you also change, you know, like
for just
being sort of like ready to talk whenever you have to.
Absolutely.
So that's one course that it's I'm not like so tight with like the community. It didn't have that aspect.
Yeah.
But in terms of like individual transformation, like that was very powerful, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. For me. It seems like. Absolutely. Yeah. And that was one of the ones that I think, were you part of the like moderator group for Ultra Speaking or something like
that? No.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought you were. Yeah. I remember everybody just kind of just taking that. And it was just like, it seems crazy, like you were saying, or just like yeah. play games. And I'm like, no, I guess that makes sense because it's really about like just being prepared to talk.
It's know? Like, it's like, it really forces you to do mm-hmm. and learn. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It was so crazy because like their coaches are really, all of them are different and all of them are so great. Mm-hmm. And in one pod, you have very small pods and you get right. pretty close to your pod mm-hmm. mates. We had like three people, including myself and the coach. Mm-hmm. And at one point, because you have this impromptu things, right?
Like
presenting. Yeah. And at one point, one of our pod mates just kind of like, just, you know, I don't know how to say it, like blanked out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Completely blanked out. Yeah. And I could not make it out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And then as a teacher myself, like usually in that case, it's like, okay, no, like just take your time. Okay, next, yeah. you know, like you will just sort of gently give them space.
Right, exactly.
But at Ultra Speaking, they like make you do it. And it was amazing at the aftermath of that, because like this person, because like, oh, you know, like, okay, I want you to like, you just, you know, like a little spiel of like, you know, how to get in character, back in character. Yeah. And then they make you do it.
Yeah.
And then since then, that person never froze.
Yeah.
Never it's froze like, again.
I feel like it's like one of those things you just have to kind of like get out of your system. And then you're like, okay, I've done it. Now, you know, you get that fear, especially around.
Everybody goes for that.
Exactly. And once you kind of get it out of your system, it's like out of your system. I think I learned that kind of the quick and dirty way when I was streaming video games on Twitch. Is this just like, even if no one's watching you, you're expected to just be talking all of the time about what's going on screen, what's going on. And I feel like it's kind of like that same type of thing. It's just like, at one point you get over that kind of awkwardness of talking to yourself. And then you just kind of like, okay, now I can just go, you know, and just talk and do all of these things.
And so it seems really like
that freeze. Everybody feels that freeze. Yeah. I love where you're like, you got to keep going. And it's like, yeah, you do. You just got to keep going through it and kind of get to the other side of that mm-hmm. thing.
Definitely.
And just be like, okay. And then I think you learn like on some level, like your body and your brain kind of figure out what that feels like. And then you're just like, okay, now just jump over it and kind of keep.
Yeah, it's like video games, you get upgraded. Like, you get,
yeah, like, totally.
Bigger. I've been playing a lot of Nintendo Switch.
I saw that. I was like, oh, she's playing Switch. What do you guys play at home? I'm curious to be like, because I'm in.
Well, you know, we have a 6-7 year old.
So yeah, like, good thing.
We've been playing a lot of the Super Mario, like the mini games.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of mini games.
Yes, that one's fun.
And then the new mini games came out.
Oh.
And it's so funny because like the first two times, my kids kept crying.
Like, oh, no. I don't know how to play that.
Like, this is not fun. And like, we were like trying to, my husband and I were like, you know, you're not supposed to know how to play.
Yeah.
It's your first day playing it. Yeah. And like trying to get them out of the, oh my God. It's like kids are like a little lab, like a human lab.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can see like, oh my God, like humans.
Yeah.
This is how we live. Like raw humanity.
Exactly.
No filters, you know. They keep crying.
Yeah.
Oh, I lost again. Like, I keep losing. I suck. Anyhow, like, it's like hilarious. But
yeah.
How about like you? I think you also take your share of like obscure courses. I'm like, who? Like, what is this course
about? I think
it's
interesting because, so it's interesting because I feel like we have like one set of things that we're overlapped on. And then obviously like you have your stuff that's a little bit different for you. And I have my stuff that's a little different for me. And so, yeah, I have a tendency to like do a few other things, but I feel like a lot of those classes kind of, and the courses that I took on that side were a little bit, ended up being kind of a little bit in the end, kind of moot because I was trying to solve a problem that didn't really exist, you know? And so like one of the big things for me was I did get diagnosed with ADHD this year and kind of figuring out what that all meant and like having a conversation with someone today to kind of see how far I'd gone just in the few months since my diagnosis to today was kind of wild. And so like a lot of the courses that I was taking about like being seen and like multi-potentialite type of stuff and these types of things, at the end of it, I mean, they were fantastic courses and I would advise them to people, but it ultimately was just kind of like, oh, I just didn't know I had ADHD. And then once I kind of like worked through that, then I was able to just kind of be like, oh, okay, I'm okay with this. And I can kind of move on. And having just like a bunch of my stuff in my personal life, you know, just changed so rapidly over the last like 12 months or a little bit longer has just been, it's like, oh, wait, I don't have these specific fears anymore that kind of like lived with me for a really long time. Or I don't really feel so strange about this kind of like being all over the place with the things I'm interested in or things that I want to do, because it's like, oh no, that's just part of how my brain is wired, as opposed to it being like a character flaw up to that point, you know, where it was, and I think a lot of us internalize that, where it's just like, oh, if I just think my way out of it or will my way out of it or learn my way out of it, you know, then I'll be okay. And it's like, I'm lucky in one specific way that I wish I could bottle and give to people, which is like, once my brain has an explanation of what's going on, it's like a switch gets flipped and it's fine after that. And so like a lot of the stuff that I used to really take on and really dislike about myself and see as a character flaw, like I was saying, it's literally just ADHD. I just didn't know that's what it was. And then once they were like, oh no, you have ADHD. Like, this is a thing that you have. It's like, this is why you do this. I was like, okay, that's cool then. And my brain's just like, that's just how we work. So I don't feel like I had to worry about any of that stuff anymore. And so, yeah, I feel like a lot of the courses that I took outside of that were just kind of like ended up being, it's like, oh yeah, no, I just have ADHD. Now I can kind of manage myself if I manage based on that. And then going into it and realizing that it's like, oh yeah, I'm also probably autistic. And how do I live with that in mind? And changing all of these things and kind of recognizing that, like, where I started the year with like having pretty severe depression that was difficult to treat and super high anxiety and all these things, and then ending the year just basically being treated for ADHD and living in a way that supports like my autistic needs. I don't take anti-anxiety drugs anymore. And I'm about to go off my antidepressants next month because I just don't need them. Like, I'd been treated for anxiety and depression since I was 18, and I'm an old lady now. I'm about to turn 40 next month. And now I'm just like, oh, I spent the last like 20 years being treated for something I really just didn't have because we didn't look to see it was ADHD, you know? It was just kind of like one of those weird things that kind of like catches up to you. And I'm like, that literally just happened only a few months ago. That's crazy to me that so much could change in that time. And it was interesting that you were talking about like how we kind of perceive time, especially in times like this where we're looking back on the year. And you think kind of about, where were you in January? Like, what was going on? And it feels like forever ago. Like, it may as well have been 10, 15 years ago, just that moment. And like talking to you about it and talking to my husband, who also has ADHD, just that kind of, we really struggle with the like moment to moment memory. Right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, why did I come in this room? What was I looking to get in the refrigerator? You know, those types of things. But like, once we sleep on it and it gets transferred from like that short-term memory into the long-term memory, it's there forever. And just like our weird perception of time and how it's like, okay, that was forever ago. It just seems like, oh yeah, I've just always known this was a thing. Even though it was
crazy.
That wasn't the case, you know? Or we were talking about, like, we've only lived here a year, about like 13 months at this point. And we were thinking back on the wild, crazy road trip that we took across the country. And we're like, that feels like a lifetime ago. And it was literally just like 13 months ago.
That's crazy.
It's so weird to think about how time works in our brains.
Like, you live from California, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we drove across the country during the pandemic with two corgis. One of them was undergoing chemo at the time. It was just like,
my gosh.
Ruby decided she did not want to eat at one point. It was, but we just kept thinking about it. We looked at it. We were driving up the road and we're like, oh yeah, that was a year ago. It was last December.
That's crazy. And
it was like just so, so different. It's so crazy.
Yeah. that's like so much to talk about. Like we need to have another session on like specifically learning that about time. ADHD and mm-hmm. like, yeah, just how to cope with that. But have you taken any courses like to learn more about any of those conditions that you learned about?
Yeah. So I did take it was kind of like a coaching course with somebody who I found on Twitter. Their name's Dusty. I can't remember her last name right now, but I'll put it in the show notes for people if they're curious. And I think a lot of what I learned out of it, and again, it's one of these weird things where it's my brain specifically, like this is a Carolee brain thing as far as I can tell, where it's like, I'll learn one thing from it and that'll be like the thing I needed to learn from that class. And then I'll just kind of move on. Like my brain's just like, thank you.
Oh, yeah. I am totally like that too.
Okay, good.
I'm totally like that too.
Me. Yeah. Cause like for me, like building a second brain, I checked out like after I built out my like Paris
projects. Okay.
And then I was like, like all of the rest of it may as well have just not happened. Cause I'm like, okay, I got the system together. I'm good. Bye. But yeah, she ran a fantastic coaching thing about living with ADHD for folks. And honestly, one of the things that was like that moment for me was a video about from a doctor who specialized in ADHD of just like how ridiculously common it is, how easy it is to treat, but how infrequently people are diagnosed. And how infrequently they're well treated because of the stigmas and issues with the medication. And he's just like, we know how to treat this. It's easier to treat than most mental health treatments, especially when you look at things like depression. Depending on the depression, you're going to have like a bunch of different drugs, some of which work better than others. And it's totally dependent on your brain chemistry. It's like, actually, we know quite a bit about it. We know how it works. We know how to fix it. But we don't look for it in people. And one of the things that's like, we look for it in, well, at least here in the United States, and that's where he was talking from, you know, like young children a lot, and specifically more boys than girls because of the way that boys and girls are socialized, you know, as children. And then he listed off like a ton of things. Like it was a really like high pressure presentation that he did. But he's like, yeah, you know, like you're going to run out of executive function. He's like, that's just going to happen. Like, even if you're well treated, it's just going to happen. So here's what you need to do. Like, go find a sugary beverage and like sip on the sugary beverage and that'll get your brain to the sugar it needs and you'll just keep on moving. He's like, get up and move around, like listen to music, do a dance, you know, get your body moving and all these types of things. And then I was like, okay, that's what I needed to hear. And my brain was like, okay, bye. And so now it's like, I can feel myself kind of lagging and I'm like, okay, I need a tiny soda. I have like these little itty bitty tiny sodas that I'll sip on and then I'll get up and move around and do that. And I'm like, okay, now I can sit back. I think more of what I took away from this year was that feeling of, and this was for me like really recent, as I was given stimulants for my ADHD because I still really struggle with focus. And I think what I learned is, I wrote about this on Twitter, it's just like, I'm not going to get physically addicted to some of these. I'm going to get like mentally addicted to them because the focus is intense and you are just riding a high of focus and ability to do stuff. And that is intoxicating for a person who has struggled with focus their entire lives, you know? And I was like, I've taken these like 2 or 3 days and already I'm like, I just want to do this forever. I can do all of the things. And it was at that point I was like, okay, I need to slow my roll a little bit. And so this week, I was just like, no stimulants, no nothing. I need to get a really good grip on what it's like to do work as a person with ADHD, as a person who runs their own business, as all of these things, and not just get so focused on production. Like all that stuff is important, but it is not the be all end all of my life here on earth, you know? And I think we can, especially as entrepreneurs, as people with ADHD who struggle with focus, you know, it's like you get into that thing where it's like, okay, I can just focus and I'll just do all of the work. And then your value kind of gets tied up in that. And I feel like that's the one thing I've been trying to learn from all this is it's like, just because that's new doesn't mean it's good. being wired, being like super focused to the point where you can't like do anything else. It's not necessarily like where you want to be. It's not even how people without ADHD focus, you know, like we think it's just like they struggle with focus. They struggle with moments where they're like, I can't pull anything from my brain right now. But I think it's all part of that, like wrapped up in those ideas where it's like, oh, this was a character flaw of mine. Like I couldn't be productive. I couldn't do all of this. Like I'm lazy. I'm bad at this. I'm doing this type of thing. I think that's like the biggest thing that I've taken away from all of that, like learning around ADHD and all these things, is it's like, I'm holding myself to a really unrealistic standard because of that, because of not knowing it was just this way that my brain works differently. Because it was thinking that it's like, oh, I'm lazy. I'm flighty. I'm a flake. I don't, you know, I struggle to finish projects. Like this makes me a bad person. Like, nah, you're just doing your best out here like we all are.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I can so relate on like you desperately want the other, like what you don't mm-hmm. have. Like,
yeah.
Like if you're having focus issues, okay, I want to focus, but then like it's really hard to choose the intensity,
mm-hmm.
or, like, the extent mm-hmm. or like the way or like how it looks.
Yeah.
I want to focus in this way, and like yeah. we don't get to choose that, because I've heard about like, yeah, it's amazing, like it's so crazy how like the intense focus,
yeah,
that, and like from going to no focus to like extreme focus can be pretty like, yeah, intoxicating.
Yeah,
I have not, you know, taken medicine, but I have a friend who was saying that he always has in his pocket this pill.
Mm-hmm.
Like that if he just cannot take it any longer, he will like
yeah.
pop one in, and like yeah. and it's almost like that peace of mind helps him focus.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So like I've been always kind of worried about like medication and like stuff like that. I think mm-hmm. like, so I do still feel like nervous about, oh, okay, I'm gonna change like my body chemistry, my brain chemistry. But there are moments where I'm like, okay, brain, can you please quiet? Like, yeah. please, like for an hour.
Absolutely.
And I really want to try that. Like
yeah.
having the...
Yeah.
You know, just like taking a little break. It's like
absolutely.
Taking a little break, right?
Yeah.
From your break yelling at you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the thing that kind of was that game changer for me, that took me out of that anxiety that I thought I had and into this, was just like, you know, it wasn't anxiety. It's that my brain was literally running so fast that I couldn't.
Yeah.
By the time one thought had gone through my head, there was like 20 more thoughts already on top of it. Like, we're also here and you have to stay with us. And of course, I think like anybody would be anxious in that situation, like ADHD or no.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got like 30 thoughts trying to like run through your brain all at the same time, you're going to be in trouble. Yeah. I think that was another one of the things I took away from that. I've been on all sorts of medications, from antidepressants and anxiety medications, and now into this. And honestly, I think, and the doctor kind of, that I was talking about kind of backed this up, was just like, the drugs that are used for treating them are honestly some of the most adaptable. Like, you know, if you think about things like antidepressants and how much they can change people and all of these types of things, the ones for this, even the ones that are not the stimulants and things like that, that do start to change your brain chemistry a little bit, it's just so different. It's just so different than like an antidepressant or something like that. Just the,
yeah.
the amount of change that it works. And because I'm such a nerd about these things, I have kind of dipped my toe into the inner workings of the medications just for my own kind of curiosity. And it's just really interesting and cool. Then it's just like, just all the little things.
Very, very small thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was asking you. Yeah. Oh, you know, cause I am going to be more proactive about mm-hmm. treating my ADHD and especially now that I'm more visible online. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like there are so many smart people out there, like amazing ideas. And
mm-hmm.
and it's very like, I have both my English world and my
yeah.
human world.
Yeah.
And they're like so different. It's almost like times like 2x.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really 2x of the input people take in. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I have to do a huge context switch, you know, from
language. Absolutely.
And the way Koreans communicate is different, and the ways that ideas are produced are different. And like, mm-hmm. I'm like sort of, I can resonate with both.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I feel like as a bilingual living in Korea and like doing work for a global company.
Yeah.
But then like working in Korea for like Korean audience, it's like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. And all that context switching, like you were saying, all that context switching of going from like a lot of people are like, oh, obviously you speak in a different language, but it's like, you totally hit it on the head where it's not just the language. It's also like language and how the culture like interprets different things and all of the, and like how they approach different ideas. And I just think it's so, it has to be intense. Like, I give you so many props. It's like
very intense. Very intense. And I wasn't aware of how intense it was until this year.
Yeah.
Because to be like honest, like I was always like 80% of my mind was in my English world, right? Because I was teaching English coaching and that's like more of what I needed, but I'm doing more work like locally, and I definitely need to learn like the local sort of texture for like talk and communicate and relate. And I've been like digging, and I've been like intentionally pursuing more of that content. It's like, wow. So I might need more planning, like, okay, shutting down this part for a few days.
Yeah, absolutely.
But both are so fun, mm-hmm. and like both are so stimulating. And so I feel like I become almost like drunk. Like it's the best expression. You become drunk. Mm-hmm. Of all these like, feel good moments, and like you get on your highs.
Yeah.
It's like you get like drunk and high.
Yeah.
And I've been like, you know, the whole thing about like Instagram, I used to hate Instagram.
Yeah.
Like hate it. Because I treated it like, okay, it's like my business or like I need to get customers via Instagram. Yeah. But I'm treating Instagram like Twitter lately, and just sort of connecting with people. Oh, I want to like find people that I like. And I'm putting stuff and trying to like put my frequency and see who like reacts to that.
Yeah.
And it's been like pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like I'm finding really cool people on Instagram that like I genuinely like, not just like, okay, I want to, you know, like dabble onto like their audience or like, you know, I think their audience and my audience are similar, but like, I stop thinking about those things and it's like, oh, I like you.
Yeah.
Oh, I like what you just posted. I like it. I'm going to follow you.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a different context, you know, and it's interesting that you say that because I'm starting to treat Twitter more like my Instagram. So I'm doing the opposite.
Interesting.
So mostly because I found that I was treating Twitter like really businessy. And so there was a lot of times where it was like, I didn't feel comfortable necessarily being my full self in all of my facets.
On Twitter.
And so the way that I got over that in Instagram was having like my business account and my personal account. And so I'm creating like a business account, which is the one I'm currently on for Twitter. And then a personal account where I can just, you know, just
be yourself
on everything. And and that's just the expectation over there and having that be the case. And so I feel like I think that we could probably make a whole episode about just like
totally
how you show up online. And all of these, exactly.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
For another episode.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's especially, I feel like it's more of a pressure for women in particular, where it's like, you know, we want to show up maybe in all of these ways and we're not necessarily, especially ADHD, of course, we've got like all of our hyper focuses and interests and all these other things. And so it's like, hi, I know I met you in shift 30 for 30, but here's my weird obsession with BTS. Enjoy. Or, hey, did you know I used to work in the games industry? Here's what I think of that trash fire, you know, like that kind of stuff. And so, and then I was like, I'm like, I just I would feel better if it was just separated. And then I could just like talk about business and all this stuff over here, talk about this stuff over here, and then I'll feel fine. It was like an internal thing.
That's what I think works for me too. Mm-hmm. That's what I did for my Instagram. Like mm-hmm. I was treating it like a business and mm-hmm. now I'm like, I'm turning that into my personal and then I'll think about business later.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's way more fun.
Absolutely. I think it's like,
and I've looked your posts recently too. Instagram.
On Instagram? On the like the work account? Trying to think. That's my secret.
The entrepreneur.
Yeah, that one's, so my secret about that one, that was another 2021 get, is I actually have like a team of people who help me now because ADHD. This is another like ADHD tip. I actually have a friend who has her like clothing line is blowing up and she's getting a lot more stuff. And she was like, yeah, you know, I could really use like a copywriter. And I was like, look at you, like getting a team together, doing this whole thing. So one of the things that really happened for me in 2021 was I was just doing too much. You know, like when you run a business, when you're an entrepreneur, you're expected to wear every single hat. You know, you're the HR department, you're the marketing department, you're doing everything. Like, and so one of the things I noticed is I was really struggled getting content onto Instagram. And so I hired somebody who basically helps me, like gives me stuff. She does all the graphics and stuff. I give her all of the information and then it gets posted for me. And so everything looks so much better. I think about it so much less. Getting it all worked.
Awesome.
Perfectly.
That's like one thing that I want to do as well. Like, how can I
delegate?
And I've been a lot better at delegating some of the things that I have on my Instagram are also like, you know, I have somebody who like will put something together mm-hmm. really fast and it's not perfect, but
yeah,
I definitely need to or want to get a copywriter.
Okay? Yeah.
You know, somebody who writes. Yeah. And helps with like the writing part.
Yeah. And I saw how great that was working for me specifically on Instagram. And then I'm friends with somebody who is a copywriter. Like she and I met through my business coach and we just like hung out and we're like similar enough. And then she's like, hey, do you want me to just kind of like make you up a list of topics to kind of start you off? Because again, you'll understand this is like, when everything is a possibility and your brain just works on possibilities, like everything is a possibility. So you sit down to write a blog post and you're like, okay, do I want to write this one or this one or this one or this one? Or all this stuff lives in my like, you know, second brain and I could pull this from here and do this thing. And by the end of it, you're just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've written nothing, but I have like 5 different articles researched. So I'm good to go eventually once I figure out which one I'm going to write. Having her just send me a list of like, hey, what about this topic that's really specific to the new year and then maybe try this
one
or do this. And so she's literally just writing me out like one liner type of things, but it helps me so much to just be like, I've outsourced the thinking of what I'm going to write about. And therefore I can just show up and write the thing.
And write or like show up.
So much better. And it's the same thing for Instagram and brought it over here. And I was just like, oh, I just sat down last night and wrote a blog post. This is like, who is this person sitting inside of my body?
That's awesome. Awesome.
It helps a lot. So that's, I think once you can, that was the thing I learned from 2021. It's like, once you can get as much help as you can, like reasonably afford and make work for you, because it's wearing all of those hats is exhausting.
Yeah. And I definitely want to
run you out before
a copywriter, but I think copy or like BAs, I can mm-hmm. train them. So I can mm-hmm. I can find somebody who is very inexpensive and but I think copywriters mm-hmm. is a bit more difficult to find like affordable. It's a more, I think, expensive skill.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one that is a little bit, like you were saying, a little bit more specialized to who you are.
Yeah.
That you feel like you can do, they can kind of fake being you for a little bit, you know, kind of a thing, which is a lot more difficult than with a VA where you're like, oh no, this is my VA. They do my customer service emails. No big deal. Mm-hmm. If you're like, oh, this copy that I wrote is one thing. And then the copywriter comes in and it's wildly different in tone or whatever. And you're just like, yikes. That's a little bit mm-hmm. more difficult. You can't really train for that. That's kind of one of those things that it's like, okay, I have to see like what you write already and see how
exactly.
Yeah, I lucked out with my copywriter, like I said, because I met her through my business coach, and my business coach kind of like elbowed me and she's like, yeah, like I don't write any of the emails that I send out. That's all Jamie. I was like, and she's like, yeah, half my blog posts are Jamie, and Jamie's just amazing. And so now Jamie and I have worked on a couple projects together. We just have like the right, we can just work on that right voice.
That's so critical, I think, with that specifically.
It's finding that right person who gets you. Yep.
Yeah. So 2021, I think it was a great, 2021 mm-hmm. was a great year of like learning, exploring. I think 22 will be the same in terms of like, we'll explore and like learn.
Absolutely.
But I definitely have built sort of like my language of things that I mm-hmm. want to explore. Because, mm-hmm. oh, wow, second brain. What is that? Like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like product, like bi-directional linking. What is that? Like, so I definitely feel that I have just more vocabulary for what I want. I would have never thought, oh, I want to find a VA, a copywriter. Like, so like, I'm really excited about 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And. Yeah. Juggling all these things, you know, like recording more podcasts. Mm-hmm. And once we figure out like our own routine, having inviting people, that I think will be very exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I'm going to be the goof for a second and be like, I'm grateful I met you in 2021.
Oh.
Like that's one of my favorite things is that it's like you and I have connected. And I think people can see that just like in our podcast together. Is this just like we met through, I think like SYP or one of these like coaching courses. And now we're doing a podcast together. And it's like this crazy wild thing that both of us were like, let's do that thing. Let's do it. And I think that was really like, that's, I think, one of the greatest parts about all of this is just like we learned that we had similar interests and we kind of came together to do this thing together, and we wouldn't have done it without any of these courses or any of this stuff. And I think it's just really cool. It's just really cool.
Awesome.
2021 was a wild and crazy year. It was definitely an odd year, definitely. But it's one that I'm grateful happened. I can still say that.
Same. I don't think I would be here without the 2021. Lots of mistakes I've made and bad choices. But I made some good ones.
Yeah.
And for 2022, like I think it's going to be, we'll go over in our next episode mm-hmm. that I'm already excited to record. Like talking about 2022.
Got like, how, like,
how we're approaching this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
I think when we talked about it earlier, I really liked the way that you said it. I'm like, I'm just going to do what Monica's doing. Monica's doing. I like it. And I think when we talked about it a little bit before we started recording, I think it'll be an interesting conversation. And we're also going to talk about planners. So if you're like a paper person, like we are,
yes.
Where you're like, it's digital and analog. We're going to talk about what kind of planners we're using.
Yeah. The last, we didn't cover books. Like so.
Okay.
Books.
Okay. So what is your favorite book this year? I know what mine is. So put that one.
Different books. Different books,
so many books
give you different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the book that made me most pumped mm-hmm. and like, you know, like I read this in another book. You have inspiration and like the inspiration, like mm-hmm. the role of inspiration is just to get you inspired.
Yeah.
Like, and then its job is over. And then you need
absolutely.
You need like the after you need like a little baton, you know, like baton touch with something that makes you do things and move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
Or for me, that book was Minimalist Entrepreneur.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people being have
I loved that book. And you know, like it was the book that got me like to like organize my notes, and I have a bunch of ideas that I want to hopefully, you know, publish and take into action next year.
Mm-hmm.
But then like just recently I started looking at this other book which was about like, oh, like this is also inspiration. That's kind of like mm-hmm. a bad translation.
Yeah.
And it's this lady who takes like different photos of different things that inspired her and mm-hmm. a little message.
Mm-hmm.
And that like made me think, you know, like not all notes have to be like this text heavy.
Yeah.
It could just be a picture and then a little note about the picture.
Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. And that really rings true to me because that's all of my scrapbooking and things like that. And it's like, sometimes those are the things that will trigger something in your head. Like you're saying, going back to those pictures
during the year.
And you're just like, oh, yeah, that's right. Even if it was like something that's not even in the photo. So then you're like, oh, yeah, I was thinking about this thing at that time and I was doing this. Those little like reminders or triggers of those times.
But lots of recording and doing action, like lots of good books. How about you?
Yeah. So for me, it was definitely Effortless by Greg McKeown, which is his book after Essentialism. Like I read Essentialism every single year to always remind me like doing what's important and focusing on what's important. And I feel like Effortless was really good because it reminded me to stop working so goddamn hard. And that was major part of like how I came out of 2021, of what my expectations for what my work was going to look like for all these things. I'm like, I'm making this really free and hard on myself. Why am I doing that? And just kind of reassessing and just being like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to do it and go from there. And that was just like, and honestly, it's so fast. Like that's the fantastic things about his book. Like I got it on Audible because I had a whole bunch of Audible credits I hadn't used. And I just listened to it and took notes. You know, it's great because he like consolidates all of it in the end and like basically like just quick notes. So you listen to it and then you're like at the end, as he's going through it, kind of digesting it in that way. If you've been through building a second brain, it's kind of like taking those notes for yourself. And it's just like, this is really, really good. And learning some really cool stuff. Like I think you can sum up the book in like one little story, which was like when they were starting Netflix, the first thing that they did, like their minimum viable product, was going and buying a used DVD and going up the street and buying a greeting card, putting the DVD inside of the greeting card and just shipping it to themselves. And they're like, if we can't make this work, we can't make Netflix work. So we have to know this first. And it worked. And so then they were like, okay, so the next step is how we set up the systems to actually send these DVDs. But if they couldn't send DVDs cheaply, then they would have been out of it. And I was like, yeah, I'm the one who's going to go into the plan of how I'm going to set up the whole rigmarole of all of that before I've sent the DVD through the mail to see if it works. And so going back and looking at that and saying like, oh, okay, let me start by just shipping a DVD and a greeting card or whatever that is for the project, I think has been a really big thing that just kind of like helped me demystify like what I wanted to get done and just focusing on those like minimum viable products. Like what do you have to do to make it work? And
that's one of the biggest, like, I don't know. I need to, you know, like Ted Lasso had the believe, you know, in the locker room. And I want to have, what would it look like if it were easy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think it came from Tim Ferriss, but maybe he was inspired by this. I don't know.
Well, Effortless is a new book, so it was probably more inspired by Tim. But yeah, I think it's like, especially for folks like us,
things don't have to be hard.
We like complexity. Like we like to take a small idea and turn it into something massive. And I don't think we nurture it enough when it is that small idea to be like, okay, how can we, before you explode into this whole big massive thing, what do I need to know about you at this size? Like what is that first level question to ask yourself? And so, yeah, I think that idea about how can it be easy, how can we stop that like ADHD acceleration to the end, which we are so likely to do, to see it from like, okay, here's this cool beginning. And then all of a sudden we're at the end. It's like, all right, can you stay with this beginning and start with what that'll be and then move on to the next step? Like hit the brakes, calm down a little bit. But yeah, I think both of his books are fantastic. And thankfully for folks with ADHD, really short, you can listen to them on Audible if that's available to you where you are. And hashtag not sponsored. We don't have an Audible sponsorship yet or anything like that. But yeah, I think they're just really great. Especially, I love to read Essentialism when I feel like I'm underwater with just like too many ideas, too many things, too much weighing on me.
Check that out.
Yeah. And it just sits and you're just like, okay, what's actually important? Like, what are the things that only I can do? What are the things that are going to be the things that move the needle forward on any of this? And I need that roughly 1 to 2 times a year. I'll admit that I needed it more often probably than a lot of people do, but it helps me every single time just to be like, to stop. And I feel like Effortless is kind of this natural progression on it where it's like, now how do I make what is still important? What's the things I do need to do? How do I make them easy instead of incredibly freaking difficult? Mm-hmm. So both great books. So yeah, that's what I'd say.
I love that.
Number one for this year.
Yeah, so many books that I don't know what's on your list for, like, you know, like next list, next reads, mm-hmm. but I have like this long list of books, but let's save that for the next episode where we talk about 2022.
Yeah, every time I hear that it's going to be
about 12 hours. You know,
I know, for you. Yeah, you're going to be in 12 hours. You're going to be, you're over going to be in next year. She's calling from the future.
So yeah, tune in for our next episode where we're going to talk about 2022. Planning or maybe not planning, what we want to do, what are some habits that we want to build, and maybe we can talk about Notion, which is probably like what I'm gonna use to track some of those habits. So nice to catch up, and until our next episode.
Thanks guys, we'll see you in X amount of time, however long it takes us. I promise we'll get a cadence at some point, but we're in chaos mode still. Awesome. Thanks a lot, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.